All the World by Charles M. Sheldon. Dedication, To Ambulance Company. This story, which was first read to my own Sunday evening congregation, and afterwards published in the Christian Herald as a serial, is dedicated to the Ambulance Company No. 347, which was composed almost entirely of students in Washburn College, Topeka, Kansas. They were all volunteers, and were listed with the 87th Division in the Medical Corps. This ambulance company made a unique record in the training camp before going overseas, passing the entire time in training without a single case of discipline or venereal disease. In dedicating this simple tale to this company, it is the hope of the author, who is the pastor of many of the members, that the same enthusiasm and patriotism that sent them as volunteers into the army will send many of them into the service of reconstruction of all the world. They are the very material needed during the period of upbuilding to do the work of making a new and better world. Some of them are already student volunteers, pledged to go into all the world and make disciples. They have kept themselves as pure and fit as Sir Galahad for the great quest. The adventures of peace will be more fascinating and alluring than the adventures of war. This book is a challenge to them and to all the youth in America to volunteer in the greatest service to the world that has ever been offered to the soldiers of the cross. End of dedication. Chapter 1. Amos Thatcher, the old photographer of Bradford, was honestly perplexed on that memorable day when the town decked itself out with all the flags and buntings and welcome banners it could buy, borrow, or secure, when the boys came home and the whole town turned out to greet them. There are certain events in the history of towns, as in that of individuals, which are epochal and deserve to be so treated. Such an event had come to Bradford. When the Ambulance Company 241 had been entrained for its camp, there had been no banners, no bunting, no brass band, no decorated streets and office buildings. The boys had gone away in a rather quiet fashion. Fathers and mothers, sisters and sweethearts, had come down to the train, and there had been abundant leave-taking after a fashion, but nothing exuberant or demonstrative. When the train finally pulled out, there was a cheer, and some waving handkerchiefs and hats, and hands reached up to the windows out of which the boys were leaning, and bundles and baskets of fruit and candy and lunches were caught at by smiling-faced lads, and the crowd had lingered round the station until the train was out of sight. And then it had scattered, very quietly and soberly, and eyes that had bravely and steadily looked into other eyes undimmed, now filled, and the step faltered in anticipatory thought of the unknown future for Ambulance Company No. 241. But the homecoming, ah, that was a different story. Bradford put on all its holiday and convention clothes. It spread its colors lavishly to the breeze. There was not a store, an office, a house, or even a barn, without its token of welcome. Main Street was a fluttering rainbow. The little depot, which had not been painted for a good many months, was almost covered up with the colors of the sky, the sunrise, and the starlight. And the tragedy of it all to Amos Thatcher was the plain fact that he could not be everywhere at once to get all the views he wanted. There was the Main Street, and the post office, and the courthouse, and Dr. Grant's home. Gramp was the company captain, and he was coming back with decorations pinned on him by Clemenceau himself. And there was the depot, and the incoming train, and the churches, and the G.A.R., and the mayor, and city officials, and the fire department, and the procession which had formed, and was even now extended all the way from the depot to the post office. To be sure, there were two other photographers in Bradford, but they were women, and Amos secretly sniffed at them and their outfit as altogether impossible and inadequate for the great occasion. He had flitted nervously all over town that morning, getting snapshots of nearly everything, but had finally come down to the depot to catch the boys at the exciting moment of their arrival. He planted his camera up against the end of the depot, put his black box with its plates down by it, and turning around as he rose, he knocked the hat off a man in the crowd. "Why don't you?" Amos started to complain irritably, and then, almost with comical rapidity, his own hat came off, and he dived down after the other man's. "Dr. Ward, I beg your pardon. All my fault. Here." He picked up the hat and handed it to the man, who took it with a smile that seemed to irradiate the atmosphere in a circle like a personal halo. "It's all right, Thatcher. I got in your way." Amos Thatcher looked at Dr. Ward wistfully. "That's fiction, Doctor, but we understand you. Tell you what, while we're waiting, give me a group. You and Mrs. Ward and Esther. Where's Mary?"
"Down at the end of their end of the platform," said the doctor.